It's just going to be very, very formal. So, because I'm just going to read this, right? You just want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay. I, Robert Moody, Chair of the Oregon Board of Accountancy Peer Review Oversight Committee, PROC, call this public meeting to order at 1:02 p.m. Zoom on Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. This meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. The purpose of the PROC is to provide oversight of the administration of approved peer review programs in order to provide reasonable assurance that peer reviews of Oregon licensees are conducted, reported in accordance with the minimum standards for performing and reporting on peer reviews. PROC will review and submit to the board for approval peer review programs that comply with the minimum standards for performing and reporting on peer reviews. PROC will provide oversight of approved peer review programs to the board. PROC will comply with all other requirements as provided for in Oregon Administrative Rules 801 Division 050. In the performance of duties as a member of a committee appointed by the board, all committee members will support the mission, goals, and values of the board. Committee members will not disclose confidential information that comes to their attention during the course of carrying out their responsibilities. Requests to any committee member for copies of public information or for a public statement relating to committee or board matters will be referred to the executive director. Board and committee members attend all meetings and be prepared for the discussion by reading the agenda material prior to the meeting. Committee members are expected to participate in the individual review of applicant files as assigned, providing timely notification to the committee coordinator if a potential conflict of interest exists. Likewise, committee members must provide timely notification to the committee coordinator of any conflict of interest in any matters being discussed. Members of the committee, please remember to mute your microphones during the meeting to avoid unnecessary background noise, and do not use the chat room feature for any discussions. When you want to speak, you may unmute yourself and state your name prior to speaking. Should any technical issues arise, we will pause the meeting until it's resolved. We'll now take a roll of all participating members and guests. For any participating guests, please identify yourself at the end. So, Ashley, do I call the roll?
I'm happy to
Sorry.
Play a role if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm on a different
Perfect.
Computer.
Somebody else do it.
Yeah, no, you're fine. So, Rob Moody.
Here.
Brenda Bartlett.
Here.
Well, your names are moving here quickly. So, I see Jay Howell. Can you say your name for the record?
Yeah, it's Jonathan Howell.
Thank you, Jonathan. Kim Conway.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. Mike Rice?
Here.
Sorry, David Sekulis?
Hi, here.
Thank you. Darlene Bowles?
Here, I'm a guest.
Thank you. Ashley Rios, board staff?
Here.
And I'm Julie Nadeau, board staff. And did I miss anybody? Thank you.
Okay, so at this point then, I get to jump over to the agenda, yes. So, thank you all for making time this morning, or this afternoon now, I guess. Sorry. Day is really running together. All right, so we've done that. I hope everyone has had a chance to review the November 12th, 2020 meeting summary. I would entertain a motion to approve that meeting summary.
Motion to approve.
So, a motion by Michael Rice. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by David Sekulis. All in favor, geez, how do we do this? Do we do a roll call, or do we raise your right hand? How do we, everybody just raise your hand if you're in approval. Okay, we got that. That was unanimously approved. Thank you. And are there any changes to the agenda as presented? Does anyone have any changes to the agenda? Hearing, seeing none, do we actually have to approve the agenda? I guess we do. So again, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Michael Rice. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by John Howell. Thank you. All in favor, show me a hand. And again, it's unanimously approved for the record. Thank you. Committee, this is item number three on the agenda, committee member vacancy. Who's going to carry the ball on this one?
I can if you'd like.
Please, Ashley. And Ashley, I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay, I can try and speak up. I don't know where the mic is. I'm on a different computer, so I'm not used to this setup.
That's a little bit better right there.
Okay, I'll get closer. okay, so item number three and item number four kind of run together. So currently, Robert Moody is our vice or is our chair, and his term actually ends May of 22, so next year. So we would need a new chair, potentially a new vice chair. That would also leave two vacant positions open for the Prop Committee. So if you guys have suggestions, comments of who you might think would be a good committee member, you know, we'll talk about that now. I believe a list was included in your packet. That might be my other committee. I don't have the packet with me.
It was in there. So there's spreadsheet included in your packet materials, and those are the names that the board approved for use this year. Mm-hmm. That would be for your one vacant position, and then the board at their December meeting will approve a new list that you use for your May 2022 appointment.
Yeah. And all of those individuals did express interest on being on PROC through their individual CPA renewals.
And it's not necessarily a conversation you have to have right now, Rob, but if anybody on the committee has any names that they would like to either put forward, you know, for more consideration than others, or if you have any concerns with any individuals, then you could reach out to Ashley, to me, to Kim, just to express that, but not to the other committee members outside of this meeting, of course.
You know, the just looking at this, Katie Ashford, she's at the top of the list that I have in front of me. I've known Katie for a long time, worked with her through the OSCPA, etc., and she, in my mind, would be an excellent addition to this group. And apparently she's interested if she's on this list. So, that's the one name that jumps out at me, I guess, quickly.
Thank you.
Oh, there's a second page I missed. Yeah, that's still where I am. That's really the only I know Roy Rogers. Other than Katie, that's the one name I know well. Are there others that folks would like to put forth into the conversation? Okay. I guess we can do that. You know, people can do that. It doesn't have to be taken care of today, is what I heard.
Right. Okay. And ultimately, Kimberly Fast will make that decision.
Okay.
And just so that you know, it rarely comes down to just the individual. We have to look at diversity of region, of firm size, representation of, you know, throughout Oregon. So,
okay.
There's more than just, you know, that they're qualified. So, you know, and I know Katie as well. She's been great to work with.
Okay. And just for the rest of the committee's information, Katie operates out of Bend and is a partner in a small firm with her dad. It's a tax practice firm. She's my tax CPA, so I'd rather eat glass than do taxes. So, so do we just move on then to the nomination for the board chair and vice chair? Yeah. I appreciate you guys holding my hand through this process. I really do. But at this point, I would open for nomination for board chair. Don't everybody speak at once.
Mike, would you have interest in doing it, Mike? I was going to nominate you, but...
I was just about to nominate you. I don't think it would really be in my wheelhouse.
My only reservation personally is that I'm the president this year, as Darlene knows, the president of the OSCPA Educational Foundation. So I'm flattered, Mike, and I'm blushing, but I think I might pass on taking that on as well.
Okay. Anybody else interested?
Kim?
I think being so new, I'm still trying to get my feet underneath me, so I would nominate either David or Mike as well.
Can we add a little bit to give a little bit of peace to all of the newer members? This committee generally has been meeting once a year, so it's not a large commitment because the other meetings have been canceled. There just hasn't been a lot. Maybe twice this coming year, hopefully. The RAB activity has picked up a lot. Wouldn't you say, Ashley?
Yes.
But probably not four times. And it moves through pretty quickly. They're generally short meetings. So the time commitment would be a little bit lower than some other committees, if that helps anybody who might be interested.
Apparently, you just have to be able to read this script thing that they give you.
Yeah, that was created to try and help our chairs.
It's awesome because I would not have gotten through it without that, so thank you. Well, this is fun. I don't know what to do with this. Brenda, would you have any interest in doing this?
Yeah, the time commitment's not a problem for me. This is really my second meeting, and the first meeting we really didn't have anything to do. So I feel a little inexperienced. But of course, I can read a script. If there's nobody else to do it, I just don't really know, what I'm doing. So I'm kind of with Kim there.
Well, I guess the one comment I would make is I'm probably on this committee because I was rather loud in my disdain for the peer review process overall at one point, and me and my big mouth got me on the committee. But at that point, too, really there's very little that the chair has to, do other than being a committee member, other than basically don't screw it up. The staff takes care of almost everything for you, and that's a nice position to be in because our staff is really well qualified and does a good job of keeping us from screwing things up, to be honest. So I would offer that as, to mitigate anybody's concerns in terms of to deal with any strenuous leadership duties, because I tend to. And I apologize, my internet here, I'm at a client and my internet is not great, so I apologize for that. So I'm going to nominate Brent chair, And apparently Brenda indicated she would be willing in the absence of another nomination. So are there any other nominations from the committee? John, I feel like we left you out. I don't want to leave you out of the conversation.
No, I was saying that David and Michael were the most qualified since they've been on any of the longest. So I'm with Brenda. You know, this is my second meeting. So
okay. All right. If there are no other nominations, then do we go ahead and vote on that and then do vice chair, or do we do them together?
I believe you vote separately.
Okay. So, do we have a second for the nomination?
A second, Brenda.
Brenda for chair. We have a second from it. Is anybody voting here? All those in favor of Brenda for chair, please raise your hand. All right, thank you. We have a unanimous. Congratulations, Brenda. Nominations for vice chair. Would Michael or David, to either of you, be interested in the vice chair position? Okay, Michael indicated that he would be interested.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
So I would nominate Michael.
I would nominate Michael.
Are there any other nominations?
I was the vice chair this year, so that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So we have, I'll take that as a second, David. Thank you. So we have a nomination, a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of Michael for vice chair of the committee, please raise your hand. Okay, we have unanimous again. Fair enough. I'm sorry, guys. I'm having really fused on this end. Care of items 3 and 4. 3 will be a continuing item, yes? Okay. Item number 5, review and approve the draft 22 meeting. Packet. I'm just looking again ahead here to see what they were. Looks like January, May, August, and November kind of planned dates. Does anybody have any issues with any of those dates? Okay. I'd entertain a motion to, Brenda?
Sorry. I'm good. Okay. I might be on vacation January 18th, but I was going to just real quick check the calendar and see if, I will be like in an airport or something like that. Well, you know, where I can.
I'm sure we can work that out. And my guess is there may even be a good chance that that meeting won't happen.
That was my comment. There's a strong possibility because we're meeting now that meeting may not be necessary.
Okay. Yeah, I am on day. So, and
that was much nicer put, Julie. Julie said that much nicer than me.
Yeah.
I'm paid to be nice, see around.
Wow. That's great. When I have to pay somebody to be my friend, that's awesome.
So January 18th, you are on vacation. Should we change that date right now while the group is together? Because just in case it goes forward, we know that it wouldn't work if our chair is gone for her first meeting. So, and this is the draft schedule that will go forward to the board in December for final approval.
Yeah, I'm definitely out that day. So
can we just move that a week?
Line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, Rob.
I was just going to ask if we could just move it a week to the 25th.
I'm taking a 2-week vacation to recover from, you know, all this auditing. So I'm just thinking, was it a morning? Do we know? Because I'm not flying out till the evening.
It normally would be.
Yeah, so I could probably make the 18th because we don't fly out till later in the afternoon. So if it was before noon, I could make the 18th.
Let's go with that then.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, Brenda. I appreciate that. All right. I would entertain a motion to approve the draft schedule and present it.
A motion to approve.
Awesome. Motion by David Sakulis and a second from who? Sorry, I missed that. John, thank you. John Howell for the second. All those in favor, please raise your hand. We have unanimous approval. Thank you. Let's see back my. I'm jumping around on my screen here trying to find the agenda again now. Okay. Item number 6, new business. Firm registration renewal season is open and now accepting online submissions. Is there other items that we need to discuss there, Ashley or Julie?
I used it. It worked great, so I liked it.
That's perfect. Great.
Love the feedback.
Good.
And thank not that you. This is related to PROC necessarily, but you may all find it interesting that we are moving. Right now we did individual renewals online in this baby step. It's not fully online, but it can be submitted online. Same with firm registrations now, but we are moving to incorporate all of our applications into this process until we have a new IT system where everything will be fully online. So soon, if you have employees that are candidates or applying for licensure, all of that will go through this system.
Great. Thank you, Julie. I'd be sole practitioner designation and reporting deadline.
This was a new rule that you guys should probably just be aware of. All sole practitioners, whether they're registered or not, are required to report a designated person. A qualified designated person does not have to be a CPA in the event that they, pass away, go missing, go on vacation forever. Somebody who can, maintain their client records and keep processes moving when they're gone. And that deadline is December 31st, so quickly approaching.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. Are you hearing me okay? Okay. Item C. So reviewing the first non-pass peer-reviewed tracking spreadsheet. So I'm going to jump down to that bad boy now. Okay, so I believe this is I don't know what page it is in your packet, but 14 of 64 is what I got. So how do we want to walk through this? Go through each line? Ashley?
No, so really this chart, the first time non-pass, is more informational for you guys. As I track peer review, the first time they get either a pass with deficiencies or a fail, they go on this list. And really it's we used to present all of the information to you guys, the documents that are provided in their peer review, and you decided you wanted it condensed into this small list because there's nothing you really proceed with. Unless something stands out to you and you want to talk about it, we can. But really, the first time non-pass is more informational.
Okay, great. So, I guess as I look through this and then I can open it up to the group, there's nothing on here that when I kind of glanced through this that, caused me to step back and swallow hard or have any real heartburn over. I was surprised at how many are no longer enrolled in the peer review process. That was a bit of a shock to me. And I'm I don't know if it's because people just are getting out of doing that type of work, or firms have closed down, or what, you know, the various issues are, but there was a lot of that.
So The feedback that I've gotten is a little bit of both of what you described. Is with COVID and the pandemic, a lot of CPAs that were close to retirement just decided to retire early. You know, so they dropped their peer review. They might not have had the work to get a peer review done, so their timeline changed, or they just resigned from peer review. So it's a lot of that that's happening.
Okay. Great, thank you. Anybody else have any comments or concerns on the first-time nonprofits list?
The only thing I was going to comment on, Rob, is I know that, you know, some of these people that were that have subsequently had a good peer review were initially listed as past with deficiencies, and I talked to a friend of mine in another firm. They got a pass with deficiencies on an engagement review because they had done the usual bonehead thing of not updating the review letter when SARS changed. And so, you know, it's an easy mistake to make. But what he pointed out to me was in an engagement review, you can't go to the peer reviewer and go, okay, well, this is an isolated mistake. It's not systemic. The engagement selected or the engagement selected, and you'll rise or fall on what the peer reviewer selected, and you can't show them anything else. So even though they only do SARS, they opted for a systems review the next time around in PASS, which I thought was an interesting strategy. It's more expensive, but there it is. So I think you just, you know, just scrolling down the list, it looks like a lot of these folks, you know, had their initial, you know, PASS with deficiencies or fail, and now they're passing. So I mean, it's encouraging to see that, to me, to see that the system is working, and, you know, these people that had their initial fail have all either passed or they decided they just want to get out of it. You know, good decisions on both sides. So,
no, that's an interesting. I had not thought that through. That, you know, because you're right, on a singular type review, you're kind of hosed if you make a mistake, and because you don't have that broader context. Thanks, John. David, did you have something?
No, I was just going to share a similar observation as John. You know, it looks like most received their warning letters. They've either been terminated or dropped out or starting to pass. So, but overall, no concerns from me.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so we can move on to the consecutive non-pass peer review tracking list, which immediately follows the one we just looked at. Scanning through this again, didn't see. I mean, I struggle with this because I struggle with what do we do and how do we continue to try and help people make the corrections necessary to be made. You know, and I struggle with the punitive aspects of it in some cases, but in some cases it really feels like it is such a case by case, I guess, is what I'm saying. Is there anything on this list that anybody feels we ought to talk about initially here?
With so many of us being new, can you maybe just give us a little more background as to kind of what our options are and what, I guess, where we go with it? Kind of, as I read through them, a lot of them seemed a little bit like the information was stale. You know, like the warning letter was maybe sent in early 21, and then there seemed to be nothing. Is there additional follow-up, or has the board received communication back in response?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can, and then you can jump in if you want. So what happens is when a firm receives their first non-pass report, we do send an initial warning letter that says, hey, we noticed this. We're going to give that information to our PROC committee to review, try and do better the next time. So then we wait, you know, 3 years for their next review to happen. And if they have a consecutive non-pass, they go on this list is what you're seeing. We do send a follow-up letter that says, you know, hey, there's a second, non-pass report that happened. As the committee, peer review oversight committee, you guys can recommend that we like open an inquiry or an investigation, and then us as the licensing team will send it over to the compliance team. They can reach out to the firm, the manager of the firm, ask some more questions if you guys have specific questions. Maybe just, you know, ask them, like, where are you guys going wrong? What can we do to help? But that would be the next step if you choose.
A lot of times these consecutive non-pass reports, though, are for completely different actions. So I don't think that the board is, I don't want to say interested, that's not the word I'm trying to choose, but I don't think the board is looking to penalize firms who, you know, maybe, and especially like you talk about engagement reviews where you really, you know, it's a snapshot. It's not an interactive process, right? So if they miss something on, you know, the first year, they wait 3 years and they made another mistake, but it's completely unrelated, then I don't know that the board will necessarily take action. I don't know that the PROC has historically recommended action be taken. But if you see something, especially when we get into the third or the fourth, definitely, I think on the fourth, I think we automatically open up something with compliance. On the third, the PROC could certainly recommend, even if it is a little bit different, like what's going wrong. There's a problem every time. We need to maybe take a little bit closer look. But if you see something that tells you that they're making the same mistakes over and over, you could also recommend a closer look. And I don't know if, Darlene, if you're comfortable jumping in here too, because you have a different perspective about what goes on at the RAB than we ever will have. But I know that they're looking at those things as well, right?
Yeah. If we have a firm that comes through and it's their third, so they've had two non-passes, then our committee will take a look at, do we assign additional corrective actions? Do we start, non-cooperation proceedings or whatever? And it just depends on what the tone at the firm is. Like Julie said, was the first non-pass a system review, and then the second non-pass was an engagement review? Was it a repeat mistake? What are their responses to the FFCs, and, you know, are they timely about getting their corrective actions done or their implementation plans? And so we have options as well from a RAB meeting perspective to try and help the firm, but if they just don't want to be helped, or they, you know, don't want to, a lot of them drop their A&A practice too, because it just becomes too overwhelming. So, but we try not to be punitive. I mean, the peer review program at the Oregon Society of CPAs is not supposed to be punitive. It's supposed to help them along, because we all want to uplift each other in the profession and keep us doing what we're supposed to be doing. But so that's kind of what we do on our end at the RAB meeting.
And then how does our committee, I guess, kind of work together with the RAB?
I would say there are two separate things. We're looking at it from just a standards practice, or from a standards perspective, implementing the procedures of the AICPA program.
Okay.
And your perspective, and again, this is only the second meeting that I've observed from this project standpoint. My understanding is yours is more from a state licensing.
And protection of the public, correct? And,
right.
So where the RAB is looking at all of that information, they're looking through a different lens. So you as a committee of the board are looking at if there's any red flags there that you feel like the board needs to get more information. I don't want to, I'm trying to choose my words wisely because it's not applying pressure in the sense of, you know, but just, you know, do you need more help? Is there something going on that needs to be addressed further so that we are ensured that the public in Oregon is protected? So your lens is completely different.
And our recommendations go to the board, and then they're approved or modified, and then that's when the action takes place.
Correct, yeah. If you were to recommend that, well, it would probably go to the BOAC first, would be my guess, so the Board of Accountants and Complaints Committee. I think that we don't meet very often. The FOC doesn't, I mean, generally has been meeting about once a year, so some of this stuff gets a little stale in my brain as well. But I believe it would go to the BOAC, and they would look at your recommendation and quite possibly straight to the board. And so they could look and say, yeah, we absolutely do need to take a closer look. That is a concern. We want more information. And it might not be that there's anything punitive that comes out of it, but just more we want to know what's happening. We want to talk about the underlying factors that the RAB can't share with the board. But if the board is concerned that the public needs greater protection, then the board can request that information directly from the firm.
Okay.
And Kim, you've kind of indirectly hit on the big issue with this committee is, you know, peer reviews happen once every 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, by the time somebody gets a second, you know, bad review, for lack of a better term, we got 6 years potentially of like crummy stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And you know, whether it's the same crummy stuff or different crummy stuff, and I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek because I don't mean to take it lightly or poke fun at the process, but that is the issue. That's the frustration of I think most members of this committee have voiced that at some point is, geez, you know, we're looking at this, it's 3 years after the fact or 6 years after the fact or 9 years now of something. How do we make a difference? How do we make a change? And, you know, we are bound by what we're bound by, the rules that are in place. So, I mean, I appreciate your questions, and I don't mean to discourage anybody any more than I might maybe already have. I'm sorry. But that's the challenge, and that's the challenge that I feel as well. So, yeah. Mike? Michael?
So I've got a question. So, how if as a committee or if there were changes that we thought, you know, obviously we'd have to discuss them as a group, but if there are changes to the process, how would we go about affecting that? I mean, you know, I mean, an idea like to your point you just made, you know, if we said, hey, if you fail your peer review, if you're going to fail, and we said, hey, it'd be a great idea to have them have a peer review again next year, you know, go through the full process. I mean, I know it's expensive and it's a hassle and all that sort of stuff, but I'm just using it as a hypothetical, just kind of maybe, you know, how would we go about, what would be the channel for us to put those, I mean, if we're reviewing, I mean, we're spending a lot of time reviewing the stuff, talking about this, you know, once or twice, maybe three times a year. How do we send feedback to the rule makers on suggestions and ideas on this sort of stuff? And I'm just curious about that. Does anybody know?
So I don't know the exact answer to that, and Julie, maybe you do, but my sense is that this would be an issue with the administrative rules, if not legislative or statute. But it's the requirement for peer review come through the AICPA, yes? I think, yeah. So the requirement, you know, to somehow require an out-of-cycle peer review, I guess, I don't know. Does anybody have any sense of, maybe Darlene would have a better sense of that?
I don't think that we could require an out-of-cycle peer review under the AICPA standards. which is what we would be bound by as an administrative entity. But I don't think that the Proc Committee or the BOA would be bound by the, you know, what we have to follow in terms of standards.
And just to clarify here, doesn't the state statute, don't the Oregon Revised Statutes require that there is a peer review program that's administered by the Board of Accountancy? Because we get people that, you know, the AICPA membership is voluntary, and their peer review is a requirement of AICPA membership and participation in any of the audit quality centers. But, you know, we see firms that opt out of those. I mean, I know one case. You know, some former, you know, national firm people I met years ago, and I was kind of shocked why they would opt out of AICPA membership and AICPA peer review. But that completely eliminated AICPA's public disclosure, so there's no public disclosure at all. Then they end up in the board program as a fallback, and the board program doesn't have public disclosure, which goes back, I think, to the beginnings of peer review. Their peer review letter doesn't appear anywhere, and we don't even see their name on these lists, just firm numbers, or case numbers, if you will, not even firm numbers. So, you know, to me, that's the real difference. And it would be interesting to me just to know if any of these firms are, in fact, you know, under board peer, you know, state board of accountancy peer review only, and not AICPA members, because this other firm that I knew for a fact, where they completely opted out of AICPA membership and AICPA peer review, then they were also recently sanctioned for proposing and maybe even accepting a muni audit when nobody in the firm had a current muni license. And it's like, okay, that's a little too cowboy for me. You know, I mean, there's, you know, that kind of level of ignorance of the law is more than no excuse. So that's really bad. So that would be the other thing that would be interesting to me is, you know, what programs are they under? It does say review type, it does say the report grade. You know, you're always encouraged when you see people here that are, you know, that are passing, that are failing, and then, you know, they're passing with deficiencies. Like this firm, two fails, and then they pass. I mean, that's a win, you know, to me. So I think it's very encouraging that some of these people are just kind of chugging along with their engagement reviews, like this first firm, passing with deficiencies. I mean, now we're up to 9 years in a row. It's going to be year 12 before, I mean, they get another shot at getting a clean opinion. Maybe this is kind of system review. Maybe they're not too much of along in the engagement review. So just some of my observations of not knowing anything how the committee works.
Appreciate that, John. Thank you. Hey, Kimberly, welcome. It's good to see you again.
I asked Kimberly to jump in because she should be part of this discussion. When you have questions about how to affect changes in rule or what requirements the, you know, how to go about making those changes with the board, she really should be part of this discussion. So,
okay. So Kimberly, just to kind of frame this up for you real quick, the question was asked, well, the frustration was voiced and by me, I guess, that, you know, sometimes it's 3, 6, 9 years of bad reports. I must have froze up again. I'm sorry, folks. I got my internet. So we have several years. Is there an opportunity, or how would we suggest that the opportunity? Can you guys hear me at all? Looks like I'm back. Hello.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that. So the frustration was raised that, well, there's several years between each peer review and the issues that can continue. How would we go about, if we wanted to make a recommendation, that someone have an out-of-cycle peer review? So let's say somebody had a fail. it might make sense to recommend that they have a system review again the next year to I guess speed the cycle a little bit for corrections. We as a group don't know how that might be suggested or implemented, so maybe you can throw a little light on that for us. Not to put you on the spot, but
oh yeah, not at all.
You're on the spot. Love you, mean it.
Yeah, totally. So I like the way you're thinking. I think that, I mean, that has always been a concern, because it is every 3 years with extensions that have happened due to COVID. It's even longer periods of time. I guess I kind of would. I need to do a little bit of thinking, but we would have to probably broach that with the board, seeing if they're even would consider something like that. And then we'd also have to have some sort of agreement with the OSCPA regarding if they can do that, or if, you know. And Darlene, you're the OSCPA right person, right?
Yeah.
So would that be? Is that even possible if we?
I mean, we could administer it if it was, you know, ordered by this committee or by the Board of Accountancy, but we couldn't require it on our own to have an out-of-cycle peer review, because we're following the AICPA
sure.
program, and we're the administrating entity for the AICPA. So those are the standards that we follow.
Okay.
But I would think the Board of Accountancy could do whatever they wanted to do, as long as they were following your, you know, internal procedures.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
And, you know, we look at this also as a partner in a firm, you know, this position of being able to require additional peer reviews out of cycle may not be popular with, you know, licensees and
did anybody else lose Rob also, or was that just me?
I lost him.
Yeah. We can't hear you at all, Rob.
I'm coming back now. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you guys. This is brutal.
We can hear you now if you can hear us.
I can hear you. I apologize. Like I said, I'm at a client, and I have limited internet capabilities here today. I think I get the sense that this is something that the committee is interested in knowing more about. So perhaps staff can take that into consideration.
Yeah, so what we could do is between Ashley, Julie, and I, we can draft some language and present that to the board if they're interested. And pursuing that, we could move forward and have, you know, your next meeting, and whenever that is, I'm not really sure, but we could provide you what the board recommended, or any input that they would want your group to provide to us. That's all good. That would be easy to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, I think that's a good recommendation. I think I'm glad you guys are thinking that way.
Can I jump in?
I mean, I'm kind of surprised that it's taken this long to come up, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Right. I know. Ashley, I saw you waving.
Yeah. I just want to clarify. I know you guys have expressed this a couple times, and since I've been, you know, the person that handles the peer proc, but you would only be interested in requiring another review for consecutive non-past. Is it 2, 3?
I don't know that I'd want to limit it to that, Ashley. I think if we had a first time fail,
okay,
Okay.
I mean, I think that's the situation that was mentioned initially.
Yeah, I just want to wrap my head around it so that when we do start talking about it and Julie, Kim, and I, you know, throw some things out, we know where to start, where our baseline is. And then on top of that...
And I would think, you know, just from my personal opinion, if I were to have a fatal peer review for whatever reason, I mean, I want my next one to start tomorrow. I mean, I want to be on top of this, and I mean, I don't want to be sending out a failed peer review letter to all my clients, and you know, it's kind of, you know, it's personal pride, professional pride. So, I mean, that's a little different than what us legislating or trying to put a rule in place, but it just seems like from a professional perspective, it seems like this is something that people would want anyway. So, I don't think we should limit it to consecutive. I think we should have the ability to, I mean, this is my suggestion, would we have the ability to ask them to have another peer review within a year or within, you know, 18 months or something. That's just my thought on it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Michael, and I think that being able, like you say, I don't want to have to tell all my clients that I had a failed peer review, and because their first question is going to be, well, what do you do about that? And I want the response to be, well, we have scheduled an a follow-up peer review to make sure that we're meeting whatever targets have been set.
So can I clarify? So first time fail, but then consecutive, all consecutive non-pass, would that be where you'd want to start with your recommendation to the board?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think so. Yeah, I like that. Not to confuse the issue anymore, but I think that, you know, even when you have a consecutive pass with deficiencies, you know, there are different reasons why, you know, I've reviewed a lot of these, you know, and it seems like some of them are technical. You know, they didn't update a report, you know, they did everything else correct, you know, but they didn't update the reports as non-conforming pass with deficiencies. It seems like we'd almost want levels in there where if it's, you know, they didn't document a peer review or risk assessment correctly, which is something I see pop up here very frequently. To me, that's not necessary. I mean, if the audit was still good, you know, if the work was still good other than that, you know, obviously we've got to meet these technical requirements. But I think we need a little more flexibility is what I would like to see overall. And I don't know how to make, I don't want to make that too complicated, but that's just my thought on it.
Right, I think we're talking about third tool in the bag. Are there any other comments on this topic? We've kind of gotten a little bit off of the agenda, but it's related. So is staff kind of clear then on kind of where we want to get some feedback?
I'm not speaking for Ashley or Kim, but I'm wondering if you want to identify some examples, like I heard a couple that identify some examples of what we call a short list of maybe technical requirements that wouldn't trigger a requirement for a new peer review, or Mike, you said a couple of them, you know, but I wasn't quick enough to catch what you said.
Oh, well, you know, my suggestion was related to, you know, like really highly technical things I think that people get caught on, which, you know, like to me, I think you can actually, you know, if you did 95% of the audit correct, but then you don't document your risk assessment correctly, that's pretty, I mean, that's a non-conforming engagement, unfortunately, underneath the current rules. To me, that's not something that I would think would trigger a, be to the level of requiring them to have another peer review, unless they wanted to, obviously. But I guess I really don't know I'd have to think about this. I just kind of threw that idea out there, so I need to think about this a little bit. Maybe I could send some feedback to staff, and they can, you know, my ideas if I think about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, one other example might be that, you know, improper dating on a report or something like that, or potentially, you know, the arrangement letter, you know, the failure to do an arrangement letter. I don't know, again, I'm throwing out just examples of things that I think might not rise to the level of requiring them to go through the whole thing again. And on a, but something like, you know, failure to do testing or, you know, those kinds of things, or, you know, the entire audit consisted of inquiry and analytic reviews would be a problem.
If I'm just thinking this through as well, but I'm wondering if, just as a, you know, point of discussion going forward, it might be worthwhile to think about just fails, because we do have that process of the peer review making that decision between pass with deficiency, which you would generally consider to be those things that are a bit smaller. But when you outright fail, it's a way bigger deal. So if you fail first or you fail twice in a row, you know, that might be a line that's easier to draw than what we're throwing out there is very subjective and hard to define.
I agree with you, Brenda. I was thinking the same thing. It would be easier to request a second peer review on a fail. With the consecutive non-pass, we're still at that six-year piece, and it, what if the first one, non-pass didn't have the same issues that the second one had, you know, so, because sometimes that's an issue too. So it would be a little bit harder to try to get that, you know what I mean, unless it was something really egregious.
I agree too. I think fail would be the trigger.
Yeah, I think that's a better idea from our standpoint as well, because the RAB does assign corrective actions, and one of the corrective actions can be, you know, post-issuance review of their next audit report, for instance. And they may get that right, and that happens relatively quickly after the corrective action is assigned. I would say within 6 months, or they could do, if the RAB's not concerned, or if the RAB is a little bit concerned that they can get the report right, they might assign a pre-issuance review. So if they get that next piece right, and then the RAB accepts the corrective action, you might not necessarily want them to do another peer review, because they've already demonstrated that they can get the report right, or whatever it was that they need help with. So fails, on the other hand, they need a lot of help. So I like Brenda's idea.
Thank you, Darlene. That actually just did pop in my mind as well, and I was going to mention it, that even though it's 3 years or 6 years down the road, they're still having to do things in between the firm with their peer review program. A lot of them require CPE, either just for a couple staff or all staff of the firm. They do have the corrective action plan that could have a post-issuance or a pre-issuance review. So even though they're going 3 years, maybe not doing the best work, there is that kind of, you know, cycle that they're going through. They're being seen in some way, if that helps.
No, I appreciate all of that input. Thank you. I think it's probably best to stick with those fails like we're talking about then, and if staff wants to draft something up maybe for discussion at the board level. I think that's probably the most appropriate at this point in terms of just reflecting the thoughts of this committee. We good with that?
And Brenda, as the new chair, then going forward, we could let you know when that meeting, when they'll be discussing that if you want to jump into the Zoom. Not that it would be required, but you could if you'd like.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. So, I'm continuing of issues here. Some of you I can see, some of you I can't see, and my audio keeps kind of going in and out, at least on my end. So, could I ask that maybe Julie or Ashley, that I, because I think we're to the, I mean, are we to the point where we need to take some action on some of these non-pass?
Only if you choose, if the committee chooses.
So let me ask, is there anybody on the committee that would, that was wanting to further discuss any of the items on that consecutive non-pass list?
I don't know, but personally, looking through the details, it looks like a lot of the corrective actions were due within 2020. Is there anything to discuss there? Did they receive extensions, or do we have details on monitoring whether or not they, you know, executed on those corrective actions?
I believe there's six of them. The six firms that you guys have, they all completed their final peer review, and they're due probably in 23. Their next peer review is due in 2023 now.
What was that first part, Ashley? They all completed their peer review or their corrective actions?
Sorry, they all completed their corrective actions and have a completion letter.
Got it. Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or concerns? So, hearing none, then I guess that takes us to item number seven, informational items. And if it's all right with the committee, could I just ask Ashley or Julie to cover that part of the agenda, and then maybe David, as vice chair, when we get to the end of that, go ahead and sign us off. I'm going to go ahead and drop out of this because I literally don't feel like I'm being very effective at being able to monitor this meeting. And I apologize for that, you guys. Does anybody have any issues with that, or does that cause any problems for staff?
No issues. We're okay from a quorum perspective and everything if Rob drops off. Okay. They said yes, Rob.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thanks to you guys. I apologize, and we'll see you all soon.
Happy holidays.
Hey, who's on first base? Anybody want to cover the informational items? Is there anything noteworthy there?
Yeah, I guess I'll cover it. It's just informational items for you guys, things to know. We have new firms, you know, every day, 47 new firms were issued since your guys' last meeting in November of 2020. Five of them were reinstated this last year in 2021. We're currently in the firm renewal process. So there's 975 current active firms with the state of Oregon. Just some good kind of informational pieces. And then item 7B, that consumer protection. You can see 30 firms that you guys have already seen in the past have now been issued pass reports. So they learned their lesson and they got a pass on their next peer review. And 18 no longer provide peer reviewable services. They
either on their firm renewal that we're going through now or on their individual renewal, they said they're just no longer doing those, so they don't have peer review.
Sounds good. Thanks for that, Ashley. Seems like the process is working.
Hopefully.
Okay, I guess Rob left up the adjournment to me, but anything else that the committee or the staff wants to discuss while we're all together? I'll take that as a no, and I guess we will all see each other again on January 18th if we have a meeting.
I'll let you guys know.
Okay, sounds
thank
good.
You all. All
right, thanks everybody.
Happy holidays.
Hi, Ashley. Meeting adjourned at 2:06.